We will next hear the story entitled Nothing Lasts Forever, written by Wayne Faust, read for us by Guy Williams.
Stretsky sighed through pale lips and poked at the burning logs in the fireplace. His shoulders hunched against the winter night's chill, creeping in under the doorframe.
A new millennium, he muttered. Seems impossible that I would still be around to see the year 2000. I feel so ancient.
Lucky, who was much younger, chuckled. Ancient isn't a word I'd use for you. Old, maybe, but you'll still be around forever. He raised his glass in a toast. Here's to the new millennium. Stretsky didn't reply. He merely dropped his head and looked down at his gray hands.
I was like you once. I thought I was immortal. When you are young and full of vinegar, you can never imagine your own death.
Stop getting morbid, said Lucky, who indeed felt immortal. You're supposed to be happy. It's a festate.
I suppose so, answered Stretsky. But I have been feeling very melancholy as of late. I have witnessed so many things in my time that nothing can hold my interest anymore, not even a new millennium.
He gazed into the fire, and the flames danced red in his eyes. The pine log crackled in the fireplace as the grandfather clock in the parlor chimed 5 times. Lucky sipped from his wine glass and tried to enjoy the remaining hour of night. Stretsky was ruining a memorable evening with a depressing talk. The two were good friends, and had spent a lot of great times carousing in town together. But sometimes Lucky thought it would be better to live alone.
"Do you know what I will miss most?" said Stretsky, breaking Lucky's reverie.
"What?"
"The music. Beethoven and Mozart, mainly. They were the great ones. They could make me feel. Not too many things in the world can do that."
"You're talking like you're leaving or something," said Lucky. "You can still listen to all the music you want, on CD."
"I know," answered Stretsky. But in old days it was performed live, only live, with the composer himself conducting. No modern recording can compare to that.
Lucky let out a long, aggravated sigh.
Martin, that was 100 years ago. You can't possibly remember. Oh, but I can, Stretsky said forcefully, as if it was last night. Those were brilliant times. Your America might be the land of opportunity, but it cannot hold a candle to old Europe. We had culture. None of that rubbish that passes for music today.
Lucky growled. They'd been over this 1,000,000 times. Snobby Europeans were always dissing American culture. But wasn't America the country that produced Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis Presley? Ray Bradbury and Anne Rice? Let's see Europe compete with that. Why did guys like Stretsky have to cling to a moldy, rotten culture that went out with Napoleon? But there was no point in arguing. Stretsky was like the Rock of Gibraltar for all he would listen.
I was there, Stretsky continued, in Vienna, when Beethoven first introduced his 5th Symphony, in the Duke's private box. If only I had not left during the intermission because I was hungry. I was so foolish in those days that I did not even know what I was witnessing. When you are my age, the regrets pile up until they're the size of the Matterhorn.
Stretsky wiped away a tear. Lucky grimaced. This was getting downright sloppy.
Martin, Lucky said, look on the bright side. At least you were there. And think of how many countries you've lived in. You had dinner with Peter the Great. You shared a brandy with Winston Churchill. You even met the Pope, and if that's not delicious irony, I don't know what is. So, snapped Stretsky, what does it mean to me now in the 21st century? Means nothing. It's just like pictures in a book. My body is tired, and even my teeth are getting loose. Look at this.
Stretsky wiggled one of the 2 yellowed canine teeth that extended down over his lower lip.
Will I grow another one if this falls out? I do not think so. And if the other comes out as well, then I will starve.
Nonsense, said Lucky. You can't starve, because that would mean you would die. You can't die because you're immortal.
Ah, now you've hit on a nasty little secret, my friend.
I have done a great deal of studying lately, mostly in the sciences, especially physics. Scientists say that immortality is impossible. We may be able to last for 1,000 years, but even we will reach a sad, ignoble end. Slowly, imperceptibly, everything in nature breaks down. It is now happening to me.
Lucky had no more time for this. He stood up. Come on, he said. You just need something to eat. We still have time before dawn. Let's go to town and feed again. Your tooth will straighten back up when you get some more nourishment. Stretsky waved his hand.
It will not help. Do you know that last Saturday night I drained every last drop of blood from that waitress in the pub? She must have weighed 300 pounds. When I woke up the next evening and sat up in my coffin, guess what? My tooth was still loose, and my back pained me so badly I could hardly sit up. So much for nourishment.
Maybe she was anemic, answered Lucky.
Fat chance, said Stretsky, not realizing his own pun.
Well, just the same, I think you should try to get out more. How about tomorrow night? It's New Year's night, and people will be slow and tired. We can do the town.
I will not be here tomorrow, said Stretsky.
Why? Are you thinking about moving again?
No. I will be gone from this world.
Lucky rolled his eyes. Cue the violins, he said, as if giving stage directions.
I am completely serious. I do not take this decision lightly. I have decided to end my life.
Oh? And how will you do that, since you're immortal?
I told you, nothing is immortal.
Soon after the clock chimes 6, you will go downstairs to your waiting coffin in the cellar.
I will not follow you to my own place of rest. I will stay upstairs, and when the morning sun comes up, I will open the front door and walk outside. Within moments, poof! That will be the end of Martin Stretsky.
Lucky scratched his head. Will that work? He asked.
Of course, Stretsky answered.
At least, he thought it would work. Neither of them really knew for sure, because they hadn't actually tried it. They had watched a lot of movies, though, and at least according to Hollywood, the sunlight should do the trick. Lucky plopped back down in his chair. You're really serious, aren't you?
Yes, I am. It is time.
Wow, answered Lucky. They sat in their respective chairs, gazing into the fire. Lucky thought about what it would be like to be on his own again. Stretsky thought about what it would be like not to exist. Have you thought about what happens next? Asked Lucky.
What do you mean?
What happens after you commit suicide?
I will be dead.
But what about after that? Did you ever think about that?
You mean,
yeah, your soul. The whole hell thing. Because if anyone goes to hell, it's us.
People don't believe in hell anymore, said Stretsky.
They don't believe in vampires either. Stretsky tried to think of something to say to that, but failed. The grandfather clock chimed 6, startling them both. Lucky glanced at his watch and jumped to his feet. I'm going downstairs to bed, he said. I hope you'll follow. If not... And with that, he headed for the cellar. Stretsky groaned and got up out of his Queen Anne's chair, the one he had bought in Vienna centuries ago. He touched the back of it affectionately. He put his hand on his hips and stretched, feeling every one of his long years. He knew he would never be what he once was. He didn't want to wait around and see how bad it would get. He walked to the front door. The first pink rays of dawn crept under the door frame. Stretsky reached out his pale hand and wrapped his long, ropey fingers around the doorknob. It felt cold against his palm. He paused. A word hovered at the edges of his mind. Hell. It was almost as if that word hung above the doorway like an exit sign. He tried to push it away, but it persisted. Lucky had evidently spooked him. Stretsky shuddered. This was ridiculous. He didn't believe in any of that. Besides, he'd made up his mind, and he'd never lacked courage before. He began to turn the knob. The sunlight coming in beneath the doorframe licked his big toe. Stretsky felt a stab of hot pain spread across his bare foot. He pulled his foot back and looked down.
His toes were smoking. Stretsky's hand slipped off the doorknob. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all. Sunlight crept further under the door like a tide of poison rolling up a beach. Stretsky stood up straight and took two more steps back from the door. Maybe his muscles didn't really hurt that bad after all. As a matter of fact, it was nearly miraculous how his back suddenly felt better. And as for that tooth thing, well, there must be a dentist somewhere that worked at night and didn't ask questions. A new CD Walkman sat on the end table next to the front door. Stretsky grabbed it and headed for the cellar. He just needed some rest, that was all. He'd fall asleep to Beethoven's Fifth and feel better in the evening. As he climbed into his coffin and closed the lid, Stretsky managed a slight chuckle in the dark, stale air of his resting place. So he'd gotten carried away a little. It was the first day of a new millennium. Time to rest up for the next one. It might be true that nothing lasts forever, but Stretsky planned to last at least a little while longer.